Hello and welcome back to Project Good Food, where we dig into the people, movements, and ideas shaping a more just food system. Today, we're honored to welcome Todd Walters, president of UFCW Local 135. We'll be talking about what workplace justice really looks like for food workers, where unions are winning, and how the growing urban farming market fits into the fight for equity. Welcome. Hello, my name is Brandon Adams Johnson. We are here with Todd Walters. He is the president of UFCW Local 135, and he'll be talking to us today about the workers and labor union that he's a part of, especially as we tie it into Cesar Chavez's birthday. Also on the line, we have our CEO and executive director of Project New Village, Ms. Diane Moss.
Hi.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon. Thanks for being with us, Todd. You know, as you know, we work in food justice and food equity, and we have really close ties to the gardening and farming community. So like I said, we wanted to meet with you today just in honor of Cesar Chavez's birthday and his fight for farmers' rights and for food and labor justice. Local 135 really has a rich history here in San Diego. So first, we'll just talk about what it means for you to carry that legacy on as president.
Well, I got to tell you guys, I myself started in the industry in 1986. I was hired into the service deli at Ralph's Grocery. I worked my way up, became a meat cutter, and then after we had that big grocery strike in 03, I was hired with Local 135 as a union rep, and I've been on the ground working with union members since 2005. And I could tell you guys, I know what it was like when I was growing up and I had two little boys. My wife and I had days or weeks where we didn't know where our food was coming from. We had to go into that pantry and dig up and be creative to feed our family. And I got to tell you, it's like it's such a pain in my heart when I see people right now struggling to pay rent, struggling to buy food. The cost of food is outrageous right now. The cost of housing is outrageous. But I'm proud of what I do. I'm proud to serve the members. I'm proud to be here for the community. And I'm very passionate about what I do and what I believe. And whether you look at food insecurity or housing insecurity, it is a huge crisis in our country right now, not just San Diego, but our country. And if there's not an advocate that's fighting for people, they're getting lost. So I am glad to be here and I appreciate what you guys are doing. This is an important thing that you're putting a spotlight on.
Thank you. You know, you guys, your mission is bringing justice to the workplace. What does that look like for the 13,000 members that you represent, especially in the food related fields, bringing justice?
You know, it's interesting. Through the onset of COVID, I think a lot of our members, we people used to kind of laugh. Oh, they called us can stackers. You guys stack cans, right? We're not lawyers and doctors. But COVID brought a huge amount of notoriety and importance back to our field. The people realized during COVID, while everybody else was working at home, our members were going to work and risking their life. And our members, they work nights, they work weekends, they work holidays, they work 6 days a week, a lot of them. And for them, it's a passion and something they enjoy to do, but they work very, very hard. And let's be honest, they're not getting rich off of it. Justice for me right now is one, I want them to be able to afford the cost of living in the state of California, which isn't easy. But I also want to make sure that they're appreciated and respected for what they do. If they weren't there, we wouldn't be eating right now.
Absolutely. I've recently just dove into the importance of unions and how they got started. And just, I understood tangentially how important they were, but just the work you guys do in labor rights. It's surprising how important that is and how needed it was and that it wasn't around for so long. I've noticed that you guys work with a diversity of different businesses, from cannabis to dental work. How does that impact your fight for workers' rights in today's economy?
Well, it's interesting because we're seeing a huge battle right now between everybody's trying to cut their budget. And we went through COVID, the great resignation. And now as we're coming out of this with this new administration, there's a battle for budgets. And people are focused on inflation, the cost of living, cost of food. But what's happening right now in this industry is we're trying to set standards that the rest of the non-union industry will follow. If we, just so you guys know, the current contract we're bargaining with our grocery chains, they currently pay about $7.65 an hour, and it goes to a trust fund that pays for health care and pension, a retirement. And that is a standard that we don't ever want to let go. As we work in these fields, whether it's the cannabis industry, the medical industry, the retail world, because we represent retail drug and food, we're trying to set the standard so that the community benefits from that. If people don't understand the health cost of healthcare, our members have great healthcare. That $7.65 an hour that the company pays, our members don't see that money. It goes to a trust fund, but that's giving them healthcare. And our members are not the ones who are waiting at the ER under Medi-Cal or somebody else. They're going to the doctor with their own benefits. And that's an industry standard that we have to set and maintain in our community so that we don't have people falling through the cracks.
So what are some of the biggest challenges facing your workers today in farming, food prep, or grocery retail? Where do you see hope or momentum for building? Can
labor unions, policymakers create real change?
Thank you.
Oh, absolutely we can do change. It's not easy. And that's the challenge that I've found as an individual being a leader. You have a responsibility on two sides. I want to get credit when I get credit for our organization or for myself, right? But we also want to get credit for when you have to stand up and say, no, that's not right. Or no, here's the bad part of that. That's being a leader is being able to represent both sides and being transparent. What we're seeing right now as the business world is trying to shrink down and protect itself, the workers are caught in the middle, and they're the ones that are losing, whether it's healthcare, retirement, or just flat out wages. And we have to stand up and fight, and that's not easy. I'll tell you guys, the one thing I don't like doing is when we have to protest one of our employers to show them that we're demanding change, it hurts market share sometimes. It's not my first choice, but we got to do it. Engaging our members and getting our members to be educated. Let's be honest, most of the everyday person who wakes up in the morning, they're worried about getting to work, getting their $5 Starbucks or whatever it is, coming home and putting food on the table and spending some time to relax in the evening. And the last thing they want to do is worry about how do they fight for their jobs or fight for their health care, their pension. And it's my job to activate those folks. It's our job as an organization to grab those folks and redirect some of that energy. And it's not easy. It's something we do. The industry right now is going through this thing where I could tell you guys, my biggest fear right now with this new administration is the border. We have thousands of people every day crossing that border to come to work and serve the community in San Diego. Some of them are citizens of Mexico. Some of us are citizens of U.S. But that group is tirelessly coming across a border where they sometimes spend 3-4 hours to get across the border. They don't know if it's going to be 2 or 5. And they come across there doing their jobs. We can't control whether that border is open or closed. And I've been having conversations with some of the Congress people, some of the elected people, trying to draw attention to that and flag it. Because if we don't do something to protect ourselves, we're going to have a huge problem in a few months, is what I'm very, very worried about.
Wow, a few months. It's getting that bad, huh?
Well, I think right now we had one of our, I'll just tell you guys right now, we had one of our dispensaries, ICE walked in. And they came in and said, hey, we noticed you had license plates in the parking lot that had Mexico plates on them. And the employer was really smart, said, hey, they knew their rights and what ICE needed to do coming in and do an audit. Well, what we found out later is cannabis is legal in California, but it's illegal federally. So we have workers who are doing nothing but coming over to work, do a job. They're not doing anything wrong, but because cannabis is illegal federally, those workers are in jeopardy of losing the right to work in the United States. Mm. And I can tell you, it's like the fear in my heart right now is over this border issue and what the federal government does with it. People don't realize how many folks are living in Mexico, whether it's because of the cost of housing or just the cost of living, or just flat out because there's nobody else is taking these jobs. We have Mexican nationals that are working here legally, and they're doing a good job and they're working their butts off. And if they close down that border, we're going to have big problems.
Wow. And, you know, speaking of the challenges, could you share any recent wins that you have experienced, whether it be in the unions or with policy?
Well, I'll tell you guys, our contracts that we've done in the last 6 years for retail as well as some of our food processing, I've seen record increases in wages. And my career, I started in 1986 and I left the grocery industry in 2005. We were used to seeing 25-cent and 30-cent wage increases. We've been able to secure dollar to $2 a year, which I understand inflation and how that works, but our members are on the bottom level. They need that money just to survive every day. And these wage increases we've seen are record setting. The last 3 years ago, our contracts were the best contracts we've ever had financially. We have a sugar processing plant out in El Centro. That group's been getting over 5% wage increases every year for the last 5 years. These are huge wins for workers. And when you look at CEOs that are making hundreds of times what a ground level worker is making, that is insane. And we cannot sustain that. If you guys look at history and how when Ford invented the Ford vehicle and what made it so popular was the everyday middle income America could buy a car. We're losing that ability for middle income to afford a car or even a house to buy anymore. So we've got to bring that back. And unfortunately, it means wage increases for our people.
The next question here has to deal with, are there any protections or is there a lack of for urban farmers compared to traditional farmers? And what roles do the union play in assuring that urban farmers have fair wages, benefits, and rights, if any role?
Well, I don't deal a lot with the farming industry, but I will tell you that what people don't understand right now is that currently our federal government is eliminating all kinds of levels of staff and departments of the government. Food security or food insecurity is a big deal just on the cost of food, but also on the security of the food being healthy. And I think we're seeing, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I love to cook and we pretty much cook natural, fresh fruits and vegetables and fresh meat. I don't buy a lot of processed foods. And I worry that we got these food deserts where the only thing available to them are liquor stores or small markets where they're buying usually day-old produce or a second grade level of produce. And people have to have accessibility to fresh produce and fresh meat. And I'll tell you what we observed during COVID was America learned to cook again. Restaurants lost market share and our grocery stores gained it. And I'm really proud to say that a lot of young people learn to cook. And so I hope that with this fresh urban farming, local farming, that we're going to see people get access to this fresh fruits and vegetables, because that's so important.
You know, we're talking about food sovereignty and just the importance of having access to fresh produce, fresh food. What role do you think food sovereignty plays in the labor rights movement? And how can we build a food system that prioritizes both worker rights and community empowerment?
You know, what's interesting is when I first got hired in the grocery industry, I became an apprentice meat cutter. And what that meant is I went to school for 2 years And I actually learned the bookwork of being a meat cutter. And believe it or not, the bookwork was math and all kinds of stuff that the kids don't want to study. But it was very important. Our members in the grocery industry are professionals at what they do. They know food. They knew food safety. And with that in mind, they have a career and they're worried about the consumer. They're worried about the customer coming in. I'm hoping that we can find ways. Our organization is looking at bringing back apprentice programs, but we've got to start bringing back careers into this industry because, you know, you look at the industries that have this constant turnover and nobody wants to stay. When they're not a career, nobody cares if you sell bad food. Nobody cares if you don't know the proper way to process or prepare that food or grow that food. But we need to make these things careers again. And sometimes that means you're going to pay a little bit more. I'd rather pay a little bit more and know I'm getting fresh, good food from a trustworthy source that's going to make sure it's properly handled, refrigerated, and not exposed to any kind of bacteria or anything or viruses. The current, we saw cycles in the last 20 years where they try to dumb it down and turn it into, well, anybody can stack cans. Well, we're beyond that. We are trained professionals that know how to handle food, treat food, and prepare food.
You mentioned the consumers. So how can consumers help the labor practices or fair labor practices in the food space? For anybody that's listening to this podcast about food justice and fair treatment for workers, what's one thing that they can do to stand in solidarity with the labor movement?
Oh, you asked that. You got that right from my heart. We're going through negotiations with our major food stores right now, and that's Ralph's, Vaughn's, Albertsons, and Stater Brothers. When people are shopping at these union stores, I want the customer, the consumer, to know that those workers have health care, they have retirement, and they can make a livable wage. And hopefully they know that that person working in those stores is not relying on the state or the federal government to get them by. They're working in a job that they can have a career. Consumers can please support us if we have any type of an action to put pressure on an employer when we're trying to make a better contract. Yes, that food might cost a little bit more, but understand you're supporting an organization or you're supporting a company where those workers have the things they need to survive on their own and not depend on the government for resources. The public can support us by showing their voice. When they go into a supermarket that's union and they see if we have a dispute, please talk to the manager. I don't want you just to walk away. I want to go talk to the manager. Hey, what's going on? Why is this happening? Why can't your company do better to serve our community? Because that's what it is. It's about our community. We all live in the same place. Our kids go to school together. We're neighbors with each other. And if I'm making enough of a living where I can afford my home, I'm proud of where I live, I'm going to take care of it. And it goes right down the line for everybody else. So support our workers, please. When you go through the checkout and there's a cashier in that line, it never hurts to tell that cashier, hey, thank you for what you do. You guys are serving our community. We appreciate you.
You know, Todd, I heard you won the presidency overwhelmingly, and it shows through your passion. Can you just tell me a little bit about the journey from working at Ralph's to becoming the president of the union and what spoke to the folks to where they spoke so highly of you?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, my background is I did what they do. I worked 6 days a week for 20 years. I missed my family weddings. I missed holidays where I worked Thanksgiving and Easter, and I worked Sundays and night crew hours and everything else. I never forget where I came from. And what's so important is I speak to our members like I'm talking to you guys today. I enjoy coming out and talking to people. I'm passionate about what I do and I hear what they say. You know, what's interesting is I think sometimes as leaders, you only want to talk about the good things. And I would rather come to people and say, hey, yeah, I got good things to tell you today, but here, let me tell you about the bad things first. This is the stuff that whether we like it or not, we need to confront this and we got to get past it. And I've always been straight up with people. And I think they appreciate that. My focus is I'm member driven and we want our organization to be successful. If we're getting good contracts, our members are happy, and it's about that. I'll tell you guys, we are involved in politics. I'm not a big, I don't, if anybody says they like politics, they're lying. It's a rough thing, but it's a necessary thing. But I am member driven and I'm focused on our members. And I really do enjoy talking to members like I'm talking to you guys today.
Wonderful. I thank you for your time. Is there anything that you'd like to share with our audience about the importance of unions, food workers, justice, or labor before?
Well, I'm going to lead back into that and talk about politics for a second. You know, it's hard to, everybody knows right now our world is very politically polarized. You got everybody's on either end right now. What breaks my heart, what bums me out so much right now is I think I told you guys a story. We were in negotiations yesterday. We've been working with a federal mediator for months right now to get a grocery contract done. Both sides, both the employers and the union, depend on that mediator to help us get a contract. Nobody wants to have a labor dispute. That is not at my top of my list, nor my members, nor the company's list. And the federal mediator is so instrumental in that process. Yesterday morning, we showed up to bargain. We were previously scheduled and the mediator didn't show up. And we found out yesterday that the administration in D.C., as of yesterday, they basically disbanded it's called FMCS, Federal Mediation and Conciliation Service. They went from 220 people to 12 people yesterday. And keep in mind that they have families, too. And that service right there is a huge impact on our national economy, because the whether it's the president or governors or your city regional levels, nobody wants a labor dispute. That hurts. And when you have unions and corporations doing what we do, this is our right. This is what we get to do. It helps to have a mediator to come in and help us, keeps both sides aligned. The other thing that worries me is looking at the federal government is suspending all these benefits like SNAP, food stamps. And everybody wants to look back and go, oh, that food stamps, that's for people that refuse to work. No, food stamps go all the way from the farmer who grows that produce, who gets paid for that produce, all the way into distributing to people that have need. And some of those people don't want to tell you they have need. And then it goes all the way back to our members in the grocery stores, because when those food stamps get used, it's used hopefully in the check stand of our union grocery stores. And that puts hours into our members, puts money into their pockets. But more importantly, we have a trust fund for that health care and that pension. Our medical trust fund goes through $50 million a month. This is for, you're talking roughly 65,000 union members from Bakersfield to the Mexican border to have health care because of that. So you look at these federal programs at what's going on at federal level, and people are like, oh, that's not me. The federal mediator will affect us. Somewhere down the line, there's going to be strikes because the federal mediators are gone. And the SNAP program, if we don't get that funding for that, it's not just for the people that refuse to work. This is goes from all the way from the farmers all the way up to workers in the grocery stores. This is important stuff, and I hope that people are paying attention and watching what's going on. And please, when it's your turn to vote in 2 years, do it. We need you.
Wonderful, wonderful. Ms. Moss, did you want to close out with anything?
I just appreciate your words, and I look forward to being a supportive consumer here. Thank you so much for your time.
No, I appreciate you guys. And you can see I'm very passionate about it. I love what I'm doing. I love our members. I respect them immensely. They work hard. They're quiet. They don't ask for anything. They really don't. And right now is such a crucial time. We've never seen labor. So I can tell you guys, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, we were trying to organize like Walmarts and stuff. You go in and talk to people. They wouldn't even talk to you. The last 3 years, we've had people, I couldn't believe it. Organizations, workers calling us, we want to be union. They saw what unions can do during COVID when we were protecting our members. They see what we can do right now when it comes to inflation and bargaining contracts. You know who benefits from inflation? These big corporations. They buy stuff months out. They money's in there making interest on them. And the people working paycheck to paycheck are starving. So we just got to keep doing what we're doing. We're going to fight hard. We're not going to stop. And folks like you that are getting this word out in the street, you're going to help us get there. So I appreciate you guys.
Todd, thank you for your time.
You know, what we just participated in was really good, really informative, and it's really bringing in the focus, the values, or the core values of Cesar Chavez, whose birthday is this month, March, right? He talks about the importance of sacrifice to others, service to others, having a preference to help the most needy, and that one principle of the nine that says acceptance, and I'll just read this one because it's just core. An essential ingredient for success in organizing diverse forces to achieve social change, create community, and actualize democracy is the acceptance of all people, and it is absolutely indispensable to the well-being of the country. I think really he highlighted some of the impact of the current administration, and this really speaks to the role of democracy. If it's not played out somewhere, how do we know that it exists? And it's right here every day with these people who are going to work and in this collective bargaining kinds of sense that comes from labor movements. So this was great today.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Project Good Food. We'll see you next time.